Broadcasting from Florida Tech, this is WFIT Melbourne. My name is Todd Kennedy with Soundwaves, and we have some very special guests in the studio. Couple guys from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. We got Tim Johnny Vegas Burton, the sax player from the Bosstones, has been there since day one, and Lawrence, the guitar player. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Now, you guys have, what, 9 albums, EPs, live albums? Can you count
that? A lot.
A bunch of stuff. And the new one is called The Magic of Youth, and you guys put it out on your own, right?
Yeah, we put the last two records out on our own. You know, it's not really unusual in this day and age for bands to do that. A lot of bands bigger than us do. You know, that way we pay for it, we put it out. You know, at this point, those kind of projects for us are like a labor of love. You know, we're not where we were 20 years ago when we were trying to get songs on the radio, you know, or whatever it is. You know, we do it because we enjoy it. We get together, we write some songs, and that's, you know, kind of the impetus for doing those things.
Is it still fun after all these years?
Always fun, yeah.
Yeah?
More fun.
Right.
In
Why
a way.
Is it more fun?
Because there's no pressure, you know? Like, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to you know, really work hard. You know, like, we were kind of guys that came out of a real blue-collar background in Boston, and none of us are talented or good-looking or anything, you know? So, like, we just worked really hard, you know, and we worked really hard to become better musicians and songwriters, and toured, and, you know, played 200, 300 shows a year, one-nighters all around the world, and, you know, kind of put a lot of pressure on ourselves to keep that doing that, you know, and to kind of make the nut every month that we had to pay everybody and to pay the crew and to pay the manager and everything. And, you know, that went on for 13 years or something.
Yeah.
And when we kind of backed off of that, now it's a lot of fun.
Now, the Bosstones came from Boston, and at that time, what, 83, 84 or so, there was a lot of music going around Boston, from Boston hardcore music, mm-hmm. you know, and there was ska music was coming around, and metal was around. And
That was something that we always kind of said, was that, like, I don't know if the Bosstones could have come out of any other city. Like, I lived in L.A. for a while around that kind of same time. The early days of the Bosstones were kind of fits and starts, you know. We played together for a while, and then we kind of didn't, and, like, some guys were finishing high school, you know, so we didn't really kind of start playing until 89 or 90, but we were doing shows back in those early days. And, you know, I think we always felt like, because Boston was so eclectic and shows were so eclectic and we were so awful, that that, you know, the scene supported us through those, you know, like, people, I guess, you know, could see that there might be something there, and if nothing else, we put on, like, a fun show.
Right.
So people would come to see us, and just by doing that, then we kind of were able to progress and become better musicians
right.
and songwriters.
Now, how did you hitch up with Dickie, the lead singer? How did you guys... You guys didn't go to school together, did you?
No, none of us really met through school or anything. Just kind of the... Like, we were playing in hardcore punk bands around town. Dickie had been, we just all knew each other, and there were kind of some pickup bands going on around the time that were, like, kind of experimenting. I don't think that they really even knew it, but, like, we were really into hardcore punk, but we also, the two-tone ska thing had come to Boston, and Bad Manners used to come and play shows all the time. I think the Specials came through, and there were some actually quite good kind of local third wave, I guess they would have been called, ska mm-hmm. bands, like Bim Scala Bim playing around town. And so basically, like, we kind of had these pickup bands made up of guys from, like, Gangrene and Jerry's Kids, and Dickie would be the singer, and kind of trying to shoehorn, like, the ska music that we were into our hardcore chops, you mm-hmm. know, just playing through Marshalls and Gibsons and banging it out. And that's kind of the ideological predecessor to
yeah.
what we were.
Now, you had a big breakthrough album, Let's mm-hmm. Face It, and then, of course, it had the big hit, The Impression That I Get, that was played on MTV and, mm-hmm. you know, regular rock radio and everything. Did you have any idea that was going to be as big a hit?
You know, I always felt that a lot of our music could be hits. It sounded good to me, you know. I expected, like, previous albums to get, you know, recognition. We kind of always did what we did, you know, and I think that the stars kind of aligned, and at a certain point, you know, radio was ready for ska punk all
yeah.
of a sudden. You know, that was kind of post-Nirvana. People were looking for, like, some up kind of music, I think. That was, swing thing was happening, pop punk was happening, ska punk was happening, like Real Big Fish was getting played on the radio, you know, and I think, you know, we just happened to put out a good song at the right time. And then after that all completely went away, and we kept doing what we do, and, you know, here we are.
Right, so. Right. Now, Lawrence, I guess you're the rookie of the band, right? You've only been there for 13 years, right?
Exactly.
So how did
like
you...
I think of myself as a veteran at this point.
Had you played in other bands before,
before joining the
Boston?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I had some Boston roots also. But I was around L.A. at the time. Mm-hmm. And
so did you used to see these guys when they'd cruise through town?
I had seen them a few times, indeed. And just kind of through happenstance, I had gotten a call that they were looking for a guitar player. And
right.
I flew out to Boston, and it was a pretty immediate fit.
Wow. You're hiring.
Literally. That's how it went down.
We tried out a few people, and honestly, you know, what we play requires... getting back to the variety of stuff we do, like, you have to be able to play heavy metal and ska music, like, really well to be in the Boston's. And we were finding people that could do one of them, but not all of them.
You know, when you say that, that's an amazing, or two completely different genres, you know. You mm-hmm. think of heavy metal, mm-hmm. you know, with screaming guitars and everything, mm-hmm. and then you think of ska music that, you know, chicka 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 chicka.
And we
know.
Do it all in one song.
Sometimes twice.
Well, I guess that's what made you guys so popular when you just broke out, and all these people. I remember seeing shows before, and all these metalheads, you know, with their long hair, mm-hmm. and they look like their Iron Maiden shirts, and they're just like, you know, yeah, rock on, yeah. dude, and you're playing ska music, you know?
Yeah.
That was great. Now, tonight, you're going to play, like, greatest hits tonight, new stuff, old stuff, whatever you feel like?
Yeah, all of the above, you know, old stuff, new stuff.
Yeah. Now, the Boston's has a resident dancer named
mm-hmm.
Carr.
Yeah.
Now, how did he get that gig?
He, you know, a few of these guys, Joe and Nate, the original guitar player, and Ben knew each other from Cambridge Ringin Latin High School in Boston. And, you know, when we started, these guys were like 14, 15, 16. I mean, I was the elder statesman. I was like 20 or something, you know. And Ben kind of was a singer to start with, but once we kind of really became a group and brought me in and some other people that kind of formed the original Boston's, Ben would come to shows and hang out because he was just our buddy, and we were all underage, so you couldn't get into the bar to where we were playing unless you were in the band.
Right.
So we'd say, hey, Ben's in the band, and he'd get up there and dance around. And he took that role and really ran with it.
He did.
I mean, he's had a career you wouldn't believe for a guy that can't read music, sing a note.
But he dances really good.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
I want that gig. I mean, I want to see if I can
be the
That's
part of the reason that we do, like, why we really enjoy doing these type of shows like we're doing tonight is because there is, like, we have a visual component, and Dickie's a great front man, and we've got horns, and we get a great reaction from these type of audiences.
Right. And now, what is, you know, I've heard about the Hometown Throwdown. That's a big show that you do in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fundraiser, too, or it's just a big old party?
Big
you
old.
Call it a
I'm sure somebody's going to charity somewhere. It's not really. I mean, we've been involved in some charities over the years. The Hometown Throwdown was just kind of really actually not fairly early in our career. You know, we were doing really well, and we got to the point where we kind of outgrew a lot of the venues in Boston. So what we decided to do is do multi-night stints, like, and that became like an annual thing. You know, we'd do five nights at a middle-sized club rather than trying to play an arena or a bigger venue, a theater or something that really wouldn't be right for us.
Right.
So, and we've kept doing it, and I think this is the 14th one?
15th.
Wow. This year.
Wow. You know, Boston has just loyal fans. I mean, not only the Red Sox, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, about their music, they really, really support local music there in Boston.
You know? Yeah, definitely. It's a great music scene. You know, the college radio in Boston, we were talking about it on the way over here, is like amazing. You know, we have like 50,000 watt college radio stations that just play local music, you know? So it's super supportive. There's also the venues, there's promoters, there's in press, you know, so all that stuff. And that, and we came up through that with the do-it-yourself thing. And that's another reason that we had the success that we had, is kind of we grew with that do-it-yourself kind of way of marketing yourself, you know. And as that kind of became the way, the primary way that like major labels and major music media was working, we were right there and had that kind of support. So
now, you know, you've been the sax player since day one, and you also write a lot of the songs too, right?
I write some stuff, you know. Really, Lawrence has become one of the primary songwriters. Joe Gittleman, the bass player, is really the primary songwriter. Dickie writes all the lyrics, but it's a super open, creative atmosphere. You know, like if you have an idea, bring it. You know, and if it flies, it flies. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. Do you usually, when you, you know, I always ask this to bands, like, do you write in the studio, like, all to get together and say, okay, we're going to start hashing this out? Or do you start, like, just writing songs all the time? You're walking down the street, you know,
right.
Oh, I got a song. I'm going to send it to the guys and work on it. Or do you just put it all together in the studio?
Yes.
Both.
All of the above.
Both, yeah. I mean, that's changed, you know, when we used to all live in Boston and would get together and could rehearse. But also there weren't like all the electronic advantages that you have now with like home recording and stuff. Now you can make a demo and we send them around to each other and kind of start the ball rolling that way. Whereas before, you know, we'd get together and jam.
Do you ever find it limiting just to kind of write in the ska type sound, or is it still just really fun?
I don't think we feel limited at all. Like the Boston's have always played whatever we want. I mean, you can write a punk rock song, a heavy metal songs. We do like Memphis soul sounding songs to me. So that's the great thing about the Boston's, and I think why we are still interested in being Boston's is because it's so open and we can kind of play whatever we want.
Yeah, right? I think also the writing style is genuine and sincere to the style of the band. I don't think the style follows what the band once was. I think the writing style is still what the band is.
Yeah, I know. Even when I listen to the new record, you just put that on, you know that's a Boston's record. You know, it just has that sound and that
wall
feel.
Of sound.
But it's fun, you know. It's not making my ears bleed. You know, it's really, really fun.
Just then you're not stuff. Listening loud enough.
Well, I think Mission of Burma back in Boston blew out my eardrum, you know, so I don't have any ears left. But so we're looking forward to the show tonight. Now, you guys got a busy agenda today. I think the promoter got you all over town today, right?
We're learning about this as we go along.
We're in heavy demand.
Tell us what we're doing.
Somebody keeps coming up with something new we have to do.
According to the itinerary here, you know. But I know you guys are going to a little meet and greet this afternoon. So if you guys are hungry, you'll have lunch at Matt's Casbah in downtown Melbourne.
I went there last night and it's awesome.
Oh, it's great. Great bunch of guys. And they're public radio supporters. They help us out here too. So a meet and greet, I guess that's about 2:00. So if you want to go meet the mighty, mighty Boston's, you go to Matt's Casbah about 2:00 and hang out with the band. And then you got the show tonight and a whole bunch of other bands. Groove Stain's going to be there, Junkie Rush, and a Florida Tech alumni band, Positive Chaos. Oh, I just pulled that right out of there.
Nice.
So they're going to be there too. So it's going to be an action-packed night. And then after the show, I guess there's another little after-hour parties at Off the Tracks.
There'll be a lot of after-hour parties wherever we are.
Trust me. Just keep the party going.
Keep going. Yeah, we're always the last band, the last people in the bar getting kicked out, as we were last night.
Still, after all these years, don't you ever get tired of getting kicked out of bars?
Well, you know, we don't do, like I said, we don't do this as often as we do.
Well, thank you so much for coming by. It's good to see you. Lawrence, thanks for coming in here and helping us out.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, I meant to ask you, how did you get Johnny Vegas, right? Tim Burton's your name. Where's Johnny Vegas?
I'm not really sure, but I mean, mainly, this is another thing that came about when we were young kids.
It all happens.
But I was kind of a few years older than some of these guys, and I had a Buick, and I used to go to the horse track, and I played golf and stuff, and the guys just thought it was funny because, you know, they were just young punk rock kids, and I'd come in from the horse track, and they'd be like, hey, Johnny Vegas, how was your golf game today? So, and it just kind of stuck.
Well, Tim...
It's not ironic anymore.
yikes.
Well, Tim Burton, the saxophone player from the Mighty Mighty Boston's, and you can see them tonight in downtown Melbourne. It's a big free concert, part of Florida Tech Homecoming. So we'll be sure to see you there. It's going to be a good time.
What's the mascot of the team?
Well, the Florida Tech Panthers. Uh-huh. So it's like a Black Panther. And probably make an appearance. See if you can get him up on stage.
Go Panthers.
Go Panthers, yeah. So if you see Panther, see if you can get him up on stage. And I heard he does a pretty mean skank.
I'm sure
up there,
we will. So, if there's anything we can pull up there, we will.
Well, it sounds like you guys are going to have fun today. And thank you so much for dropping by the WFIT studios.
Thanks
and
for having me.
All the best with the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Don't forget, you can get their new record, The Magic of Youth, out now. And have fun with it. It's a great record. You're tuned to Public Radio for the Space Coast, WFIT, Melbourne.